let's get into it. Priceless Promises, you are not alone. And thank you, Brooke and Cara and Kay, for doing that and singing that beautiful song. As we've travelled down this marvellous path of God's priceless promises over the last 2 months, I think you will agree with me that God has been more generous with us than we actually realise. You know, we've learned that those who are Christians will live forever. Don't you like that? So if there's any non-Christians in this house this morning, I think you'll want that, wouldn't you? You'll find rest for your souls. Who doesn't want that? You are children of God. You will not be condemned. We have overcome the world. We have God's attention and we will receive guidance. And if you've missed any of those sermons, you can download them on the website, hillside.org.au. And today we end this Great Promise series from God that we are not alone. That we have been allowed to enter into the greatest movement, even a greater movement than the Scouts. A greater movement that has ever or will ever be. And that is the Church of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 22, this is where I'll be bringing my message from. It says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." And we're going to get into that. When Paul wrote this to the believers in Christ who are Gentiles, that often felt like second-class citizens, because they did not come from the Jewish heritage as Jesus did. But Paul assured them that their heritage was to be found in their relationship with Jesus Christ, not according to their bloodline. And the promise that was made to them for so many years ago is still made to us today. Therefore, there are four parts to this promise that we need to consider this morning. You would have got an outline this morning. So in your outline, we are no longer strangers and foreigners. It says, so now you Gentiles, which are us, are no longer strangers and foreigners. Have you ever travelled to a foreign country and quickly realised that you're out of place? In 24 hours, I'm going to be in a foreign country. The language is going to be different. The smells are going to be different. The customs are going to be different. The laws are going to be different. The food is going to be different. The culture is different. In many ways, the people are going to be different. And when we're outside the kingdom of God, it appears that the kingdom is another foreign country, a place where we don't really belong. But the truth is, we do belong there. We are promised that unlike the time before we were believers, we can now rest in the fact that we are strangers, that we're strangers and foreigners no more. The church is not foreign to us. It is where we belong. And as we live out our Christian lives, we begin to realize that we are not of this world. It's a scary world out there today. You just need to look at the news. I love how Chris said last week with the band of brothers that we see red even more. And I love that concept. I'm actually going to be using that in the Philippines. That when we see red, when we get angry with what's going on in the world, so what do? No, we don't get red angry. We go to the Word. We go to God's Word and we look up in the Bibles. Some of you got Bibles and with Jesus' words are written in red. We see red. I see red, I see red, I see red. Walking down the street, I see red, I see... Hey? That's what we should be doing. Walking down the street, I see red, I see red, I see red. Yeah. Oh, cringe. Can't believe you did that, Dad. That's embarrassing. So I can sing too. Wow. I think I can sing. Who said that? That's the good news. John the Baptist proclaimed in this day, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So Matthew 3:2. The kingdom was coming quickly. You know, we as Christians, we hear that, don't we? We say, oh, heaven is near. In Jesus Christ, the kingdom appeared on earth. John the Baptist was talking about Jesus. The kingdom is near. Once the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom would come, and Jesus replied in Luke 17:20-21, he says, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. And Jesus spoke of us when he said to the Jews in Matthew 21:43, he says, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit. That nation Jesus is talking about is us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, this is good stuff. I've studied hard on this. Come on. The kingdom can be described as the rule and reign of God in our lives. When you become a believer, you surrender your rights and submit yourself to God's rule in your life. Remember, it's a response that we follow Christ, not a requirement. And we get all bent up. Some of us all get bent up in laws and requirements, and we have to do, we have to do, we have to do, we don't have to do. It's we want to do. We want to follow Christ for what he's done for us. Okay, number two, we're citizens with all God's holy people. Okay, I prefer the other translation where it translates holy people as saints. That's right, saints. That's a more literal translation. Every saved person is a saint. So turn to the person next to you and go, hello, Saint Sally, or hello, Saint, whatever their name is. Gee, they've got long names, haven't they? Wow. In his kingdom, there are no strangers or foreigners. See, some people have got long names. There are no big I's or little U's. There are only saints, and we are all saints. Or we are, as it says, we are all holy people. So after the service in the cafe, I want you to greet one another as Saint David. Why not? Saint George, Saint Peter, Saint Michael, Saint Julian. Why not? That's who we are. We are forever united together. We have a common language, which is the language of love. We have the common history, which is the community of faith. We have the common allegiance, higher than any earthly loyalty. We have a common goal, and that's the glory of God. We have the common destination, which is heaven. Some of you are going there, that's good. Heaven. Philippians 3:20, we're all citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. The amazing thing about this citizenship that it crosses all boundaries. You know, we could travel across the world to a different country that is vastly different from our own language, history, culture, and we will have that in common which supersedes all worldly matters. That is fantastic. I can go to any city in this world and walk into a Christian church and be looked after if I needed to be. Not because who I am, but because of who I'm in and who's in me and who's in them. We are one in Christ. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. And there are three benefits to being citizens of God's kingdom. First one is citizenship gives us identity. You know, the word strangers we saw earlier comes from a word that is referred to groups of foreigners who settle in a city. And we see today, as small ethnic minorities cluster together, these little groups. And the citizens often views these folks with fear and suspicion, as we do lately. Foreigners meant someone even further down the scale, a person who takes up residence but never adopts citizenship. They're either aliens or refugees. On the other hand, citizens are fiercely proud of their cities. In Acts 19, we see the civic pride of the Ephesians during the riot over Paul's teaching. People's names were often spoke of their citizenship, such as Paul of Tarsus and Jesus of Nazareth. You know, just imagine Kerry of Forestfield. You know, when you greet someone, "G'day, I'm Kerry from Forestfield." You know? As citizens of King, actually, it was funny. I'm going to share a little story with you today. I'm digressing, but I was with Kay at the post office, and the lady behind the counter, I gave my birth certificate, which is a New Zealand birth certificate, and she said, "Sorry, we need an Australian birth certificate." There's more to it, but anyway. Kay, my PA, was so gracious with me, and she kept me from going... but anyway, citizenship gives us privileges. Oh, that was funny. Roman citizenship was highly prized in the first century. Okay, Roman citizenship included the right for voting, of being elected to a magistracy or of appeal to the people, and contracting a legal marriage. Sounds familiar today, doesn't it? And holding property in the Roman community. Exactly the same today. If you're not a citizen of this country, you can't do these things. And all is the same today. So Paul used his citizenship on several occasions, notably the privilege of appealing to his case to Caesar. He used that. Just like I'm going over to the Philippines and using my Australian background. I'm a Kiwi originally, but I'm an Australian citizen, okay, just for those who want to go any further. But I'm going to use that. Because I'm a proud Australian. And I'm using that behind me. I'm going as an ambassador representing Australia. And I'm using that name. I'm Kerry from Australia. That's what I'll be saying. Okay, citizenship gives us security. We belong, we have a home in Jesus. Now, this gentleman here is Professor A.B. Davidson. Not Harley Davidson, but A.B. Davidson. Okay, who was a minister of the Free Church of Scotland in the 1800s. Anyone know him? No. An avid teacher of the Hebrew language, he writes of his lodging somewhere in a foreign city. And in the evening, he would take a walk through the streets. This is in the 1800s. And he'd often see through uncurtained windows. Sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it? But a lot of places back then didn't have curtained windows. He saw families sitting around the table and reclining around the fireplace. And he said all of this went to make his loneliness even deeper. In Christ, we belong. We're on the inside, we're not on the outside. We belong. In the family, no matter where we are, we will never, ever be alone. Number three, we are members of God's family. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house. One of the key phrases throughout the Ephesians and all the epistles is in Christ. This little prepositional phrase, in Christ, describes the full content of our salvation. The Holy Spirit immerses us in Christ's body because we are in Christ. We're also in Christ's family. We are members of the household of God. And because we are united with Christ by faith, God loves us and he loves his Son. He cares for us as he cares for his own Son. He gives us the same inheritance he gives his Son. Romans 8:17, it says, since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Hebrews 2:11 says, Now Jesus and the one he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. See, to be a citizen is to be a member of the family too. These are not distinct roles, but rather different views of the same reality. The first metaphor says that we are citizens along with all God's holy people. It is a wonderful thing to be a citizen. However, it's something else to be members of a household. To be a member of a family is much more intimate relationship than to be a citizen of a kingdom. In Christ, we have great intimacy, not only with God, but with also with each other. And we are to relate to one another as a family and treat each other as a family. Number four, we are part of God's church. It said, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. You know, some of us have mistaken the idea of what it means to be in the church. We tend to think about it as denominational labels or buildings or particular doctrines or creeds. And while all of this is not without importance, but it misses the main point. You see, in the early church, there were no denominations. There were no creeds and there were no church buildings like we have today. The early church that Paul was writing to focused on these three truths. And I want you to write these down or remember these. The first one is the church is built on Jesus Christ. Jesus is both the foundation of which the church is built and the cornerstone. The foundation is that initial layer that must be kept perfectly square or the whole building will fall apart. The cornerstone is the stone which all the stones in the foundation are measured. And the church was built on Jesus Christ. It is not built on a denominational system or a particular creed. It is not. It is based on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's it. When we come to worship, we come together to worship Jesus Christ. Our text says that we were joined together in him. Look around at the moment. Look around who's sitting next to you across the pews. Go on, don't look at me. Where are you? Who's your toe? Look around me. I want to scratch. Why do you do that? No. But there are people here from every conceivable background. Some of us were raised in different settings. Some of us were raised as Catholics. Some of us were raised as Protestants, Methodists, Presbyterians, Church of Christ, Baptists, etc., etc., etc. Some of us were dragged to church as a kid. And we hated it. But the seed, we got to know, everyone that went to all these different churches got to know the main point. Got to know Jesus Christ. And all of you, look, all of you out there, you're from all different backgrounds. You're on a journey. Some of us speak different languages and from different countries. Some of us definitely speak different languages in this room. Some of us have different skin colour. Some of them wear different uniforms and dress. Most likely, if it was not for our common salvation in Jesus Christ, we would not even know each other. But here we are. Here we are, people from all different backgrounds who can call each other brother and sister because of our common relationship to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus brings unity where there was only separation before. That's why I love my church. That's why I love Hillside Church. That's why I love the church. Number three, the church is being built together by those who are in Christ. It is in this church where Christ is the foundation, and where unity has been achieved, that we, with the help of Jesus himself, will build the church. Amen? We're not talking about a brick or mortar building. We're talking about a building, the church, by bringing more and more people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm so excited. I've got 20 young people here this morning that some of you may have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But today you have. That is the truth. You know that person at work or at school or the lives that lives across the street can be our brother or sister in Christ. Those people who don't speak the same language as I do can learn the language of Christ, can live like Christ. It doesn't. We saw pictures of people in Kenya before. They too can live like Christ as we do live here in Australia. Those people with radically different backgrounds that are my own can find unity with us because we're all starting from the same foundation, the same cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. We're all part of God's church no matter what we're doing before. Isn't that a wonderful truth? You know, the other day I was really appalled and I was saddened and it broke my heart. As I know it was breaking God's heart when some Christians had a crack at Hillsong Church on Facebook and they went further to have a crack at the Pentecostal church. And then all of a sudden people were having a crack and people were slinging stuff and these were all Christians from different denominations. I love the body of Christ and I love the bride of Christ. If anyone had a crack at my wife, just try it. You'll see a giant come out of me and I'll thump you. Just imagine how Jesus feels when people attack his bride. We are made in the image of Christ. And boy, that anger, that righteous anger, wells up. Calm down. When I used to be in the corporate world in sales and marketing, I used to crack my sales team. If they ever came in and said, and they started bagging out the opposition, I'd give them a warning because I hated it. You don't bag out anyone that's doing the same thing you're doing. In the same sense, I get upset when I hear people bagging out other denominations. It's not cool. It is not cool. You know, the devil, we think that the devil is attacking the church. He's not attacking the church. He's sitting back in his armchair at the moment thinking, hey, you Christians are doing a good job as it yourself. You're attacking the denominations. We've got to stop it. Because all of us are from different backgrounds. We've heard the gospel. Doesn't matter what church you came from. That's why I love Hillside. We're an independent church, non-denominational. You know, we don't have the same creed as some of the other denominations. So what? We've got different ways of doing our services. So what? But we all have a common thread, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour of our lives. Can I have the music team up, please? Of the music team. I just want to read some scripture pieces out for you. Then I'm going to do something First Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, that what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Colossians 3:13-14 says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and all over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant is when God's people live in together in unity. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Romans 14:4, live in harmony with another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. John 17:23 says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. The world will know when people see the church, different denominations, being in unity. The world does not see that when we bag each other out. Oh, yeah, the Baptists and the Church of Christ and rubbish. Stop it. I'm passionate about this. My heart is to save the lost that are out in that community. I can't have my people going out there going bagging other denominations. Don't do it. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying don't do it. Encourage others not to do it. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I'm going to do something now, and I want the representatives of some denominations to come forward and pray a blessing over that denomination. And I'm talking, I've already asked these people, but as I call your name, just come out. I mean, these people were brought up in these churches, but they're here today. And I'm just going to ask them to pray a blessing over that denomination and church. That may they grow. May they all the people just, may their church seats be filled. I've got the Baptist Church. Lance Stay is going to represent that. Salvation Army, Pastor Fred. Apostolic Organization and Movement, Mark Newton. Church of Christ, Margaret Horner. If you'd like to come up. Come up, people, please. Uniting Church, Sally. Sally and myself are from the Uniting Church. Pentecostal, Alan Grover. Anglican, Mal Watt. Catholic, Craig Parker. Presbyterian, Brittany Twiss. And then I'm going to finish off by reading a prayer that Jesus prayed. All in red. Sorry? Red. You know, behind me are a bunch of beautiful people, just like you guys are. But if it wasn't for the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Anglican, the Catholic, the Apostolic Movement, the Pentecostal Movement, so on and so on, we wouldn't be here. There's that common thread that goes all the way through this, and that's Jesus Christ. No creeds. Nothing, just Jesus Christ. Do we have a microphone? Yeah, good. Just fire away, go and just pass it down the line. Why don't you stand over there, Fred, and you can start it and I'll finish it.
Praise God. Well, I'm the product of the Salvation Army, and what Pastor Kerry has had to say this morning has resonated with me. Before we came to Forest Field, if I could just add this for a moment, it was prophesied that God would not only bless the Forest Field Church, which was an independent church incorporated that way, but that God was going to give the church and me a burden for the wider body of Christ. And that has been borne out, and it still applies. I still have a great affection and burden for the wider body of Christ. Mm. And I've just been so thrilled and excited to hear our pastor sharing these thoughts this morning, because that has been the very backbone, I guess, of this church. And it continues to be so. So let's pray. I'm so happy to pray for the Salvation Army. When I looked into the history of the Salvation Army a few years ago, I discovered that they were more Pentecostal than most Pentecostal churches I know today. And they lost it down the track. But we're getting it back. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for the Salvation Army. Sure. This wonderful organization that preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ, where the Holy Spirit moved in such powerful ways in days gone by. But we pray that right now you would fall upon the Salvation Army with such an anointing like happened at Pentecost, and that the Holy Spirit will just overwhelm the whole organization, and that they will be known as a people of God moved by the Holy Spirit, promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just lift the apostolic church to you now. Father, I pray for the council of apostles, that you would be with that group of leaders as they take not just the Australian movement, but the global movement, Father. Mm. As you lead them, as you give them guidance and wisdom, Father, help them grow and develop and lift your name. Focus on the majors, Father. Help them just grow on the majors. In Jesus' name. Mm.
Father God, I thank you for the unity that comes through the diversity of the body of Christ. And Lord, I just lift the Uniting Church to you, God, and I ask, Father, that you would bless the faithful remnant, Lord, that have served you and that still honour you this day, Lord. I ask that you would rise them up to have courage and boldness to stand for what is right, God. And I pray that you would use them as your instruments in the community, Lord, to bless the people that are around them and to draw people to Christ. In Jesus' name.
I pray that the church will move out, that it does not look in, Father, but to reach out, because there's many unsaved people out there that are living in nature's darkness and have no hope. But when we come to Jesus, he is the light of the world. He brings us from darkness into light. And we are, Father, to carry that light throughout this dark world into every corner of the world, because Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, Father. And we follow him. Help us to live that kind of life and be different from the world. In Jesus' name I pray.
Father God, I lift up the Catholic Church now, Lord God, and I pray that you would bless them. Lord God, that you would protect your church. Holy Spirit, that you would guide the Catholic Church. And most of all, that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted upon high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Baptist denomination. Lord, I've got a lot of my Bible teaching there. Father, I pray specifically for the Les Moody Baptist Church in this shire, that, Lord, you would bless them, keep them, Lord, prosper them, and, Lord, let them shine your light in this community, I pray in Jesus' name.
That's good. Father, I declare in your name a blessing over the Pentecostal Church and every Spirit-filled church that comes under that banner. I pray and declare your blessing upon every congregation, every pastor, and every man, woman, and child that attends the Pentecostal churches. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing and your moving within this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, thank you, Lord, for faithful servants such as my parents in the Anglican Church in Sydney that served you for so long and so faithfully and preach your word so diligently and so honestly. Thank you, Lord, for their wisdom and their imparting of your word to so many people that's had so much effect on so many people's lives. Amen.
Lord, I lift the Presbyterian Church to you right now, God. I just thank you for everything that you have done throughout the years in that church, Lord. I pray for every single person that attends that you would just be so real to them and just continue to reveal yourself to them. And, I just thank you for everything that you're doing through them, Lord. And I pray for unity within both their church and within the church as a whole, Lord.
As Jesus said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are one in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me, that I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one, and I in them and you in me. May they be brought to a complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, through the world does not know, though the world does not know, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that the name Jesus Christ threads its way through not only the churches but in the community. And Lord, I just want to lift up, Lord, the Kalamunda Ventures and the Scouts of this community. And I pray, Lord, never let them forget the foundation, the cornerstone where that organization was built from. Lord, I pray a blessing on the leaders that have come this morning, that are looking after the young adults here. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless the young people as well and the adventurers, that they may as they journey through life know the truth and find the truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.